You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for August 4th, 2017. It's not safe for work.
It's the Jeff Glass and Blue Girl podcast.
It's the Blue Girl and Jeff Glass podcast.
Coming to you live with the Professional Left podcast, which has now lasted nearly 400 times longer than the tenure of former White House communications director Anthony Scaramucci.
Yay.
Yay.
Hey, Driftglass, yeah. I hate to cast aspersions.
Yeah, what?
Our podcast lasted longer than Anthony Scaramucci's marriage, too.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's sad. Oh, that's just sad.
Last week, I was just unbelievably angry at the fact that we had the Scaramucci divorce and the Reince Priebus leaving.
Yeah.
The White House. And this was before Scaramucci. This was days before Scaramucci got fired.
Yes.
The fact that Scaramucci survived the weekend shows you the failure of this White House to have any control over anything. And I also raised my eyebrows quite a bit when Scaramucci was fired and that proved that Kelly was in charge. Like, I'm sorry. If you can't fire someone who did an interview like that the first minute you're in office as chief of staff, then you would that is such a low bar.
Yeah, that was the consensus, and easiest test to pass.
Yeah.
And you know who failed that test? Donald Trump failed that test. Because he's a failure. He's a failure as a person, as a man, as a president.
He's not a failure at ginning up the racism.
Oh no, he's
in
good
America.
Oh, no, he's really good at that.
And
there's so much winning. There's so much white winning out there right now.
Mm-hmm,
it's unmeasurable.
And he really is trying to make America into West Virginia. I mean, rural,
inbred.
White, inbred, uneducated, angry, making liberals mad. That's politics. Go Hannity. That's it. You know, he wants them to be European descended, but so long ago that you have no memory whatsoever in your brain of you being an immigrant or your people being an immigrant. You're Americans, and that's
real
it.
Real
so, and no sense of why America is an idea rather than a place. No appreciation for that.
Soil conservatism. Good old-fashioned fascist motherland blood and soil conservatism.
Yeah.
And you know what? The entire Republican Party is really okay with that, except for the fact that they handed themselves over to the wrong con man.
Yeah.
You know, because as you've said a million times, and I believe Chris Hayes said today, Jeb Bush would have been doing pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Cruz would have been doing the same thing. Jeff Sessions would have been AG under Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio.
Yeah, right, exactly.
The shit pile would be as big and as stanky as it is now, except they forgot that when you make a perfect breeding ground for racist con men who've memorized the Fox News talking points, there might be a bigger gunslinger come along who's better at lying to morons than you are.
Yeah. Well, and I want to put it in terms that Joy Reid did this week, that she got pushback and boy, did she stick to her guns on this. I was so proud of her. Donald Trump makes Republican subtext into text.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, as you say, perfectly fine to have a white supremacist party in office as long as they don't say N-word.
Right. Just don't say it.
As long as they don't say immigrants are drug dealers and evil and we don't need brown people in America.
And dirty and disease-bearing, too.
Right, right. So the fact that Donald Trump says these things out loud, and then the Republican base voters say, he's saying what I'm thinking. He's giving voice to the words that class of people have been told they won't get a job, They won't be accepted in public because that is not good manners. Right. It's not politically correct. And they feel stifled because they're not allowed to say N-word out loud anymore.
Right?
That to them is free speech.
Right.
And so the fact that Donald Trump lets all of that out is the appeal. That is why they're loyal to him, is because he's loyal to the hatred in their souls.
Yeah, it's not there's this distinction that mostly pundits and mostly people who are cognizant of the fact they're talking to an audience that isn't entirely made up of Republican rubes and meatheads. They have to split the difference and say, well, he may say these crude things and whatnot, but he's being authentic and real and true and blah, blah, blah. No. The authentic, real, true things he's saying are horrifying. That's the point. The point is that they're not drawn to the fact that he's authentic just in some abstract sense, that he's authentically racist and so are they. He's authentically stupid and so are they. His authentic worldview is completely saturated with Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Newt Gingrich bullshit, and so are they. He is exactly like them. And that's something that the media cannot cope with because they have spent literally the last 30 years lying every single day that any of this was going on. You know, the Republican Party was exactly the equivalent of the Democratic Party. There were some extremists, but basically pretty good people, and they just had disagreements over policy. And now it's absolutely no longer even debatable. It's no longer even – I don't even argue anymore, because if you're still arguing this, you are either brain dead or you have a fucking agenda, because it's clear – no, this was the plan the whole time. The plan the whole time was to build a party that looked and sounded and smelled and voted like Trump. But you put someone in front of it like Marco Rubio, who's got a smiley face. And that is the one thing at which they failed. And now the people – we have a note here on our podcast notes, because we really do have podcast notes, called Bring Me the Head of Chris Cillizza. Because there are – now that the – crazies are out and about and are no longer fearful about expressing their true opinions about marginal tax rates and the trade deficit. No, they don't give a shit about any of that. They don't care about deficits. They care about brown people, scary brown people and liberals and homosexuals and transgender people.
Well, and they care about male power.
Yes, male, white
and
male
men
power.
Being white male power and white men being the authoritarian leaders. And I want to started right rolling in, as we always do.
Yes, we do.
And I love that about us. Talking about how Seth Rich has, for the moment, burst the bubble, where people in the non-Fox media are being required to talk about Fox being involved in a collusion, there's that word again, between the White House and a false story, which we all knew was false before. I mean, this is the point, is we knew and everybody knew that Sean Hannity was using Seth Rich's murder to distract from the Trump-Russia investigation. We knew that. We knew that Trump appreciated Sean Hannity doing that. We knew all of that. But now that there's a lawsuit, now that there is records being filed in court under oath, it's a story. And it's a story that then crosses over into other media where they have to talk about this. And it's a big, chilling deal. It just brought up to me immediately, though, because we've been thinking about 400 episodes of this podcast. Shirley Sherrod. We've been talking about Shirley Sherrod all week.
Absolutely.
The woman who worked for the Agricultural Department gave a speech about her spiritual growth and how she had to learn through her experience with white farmers that her job was to help everyone and that she had to learn universal love in her heart.
Right.
And she gave this testimony in a speech about learning to see beyond the white race and see beyond race and help others and realize that it's about income inequality and not about race.
That's
you want to help everyone raise their boats.
All the farmers are in the same boat.
Right.
Yep.
And that she gave this lovely testimony about it. And Andrew Breitbart edited that tape to make it look like she was anti-white.
Right.
And she was fired by the by Vilsack, by the Agriculture Department.
By the Obama administration.
In 5 minutes.
Yeah, gone. Over a doctored tape that was deliberately created to get her fired and gin up racial resentment.
Southern racial resentment against Barack Obama. And Fox News and the crotch couch with, you know, their legs hanging out under their miniskirts sat there looking very concerned for an entire news day over this Obama-appointed black woman.
She's so bad.
And the NAACP got involved, and isn't this just terrible? She wanted NAACP to save her career, but that person couldn't get the help from the NAACP. Can you believe it?
Oh my God.
You know, and the hand-wringing and so forth, and it was all on Fox. Fox took it, and Fox ran with it.
And just
the
like
next day...
Just like they ran with Acorn, frankly.
Right, well, Acorn and Benghazi.
Yep.
We have to recognize and say it every day. Fox News is a force for evil in this country.
It is.
And
it's a domestic enemy.
They have destroyed the opportunities for blacks and women and people of color and gays, and all in the interest of white male authoritarian republicanism. And because it's the news for 35% of this country, they're ingrained. You know, people tweeted this week, and I retweeted it, the three pictures of who was covering what last night. And it was Trump Russia, and Cal Exit.
Can you believe it? The liberals in California
want to secede from the union.
Oh, my God. How un-American. I'm just asking the question. See, before...
And Tucker fucking Carlson is sitting there frowning, making a frowny face.
Before Megyn Kelly left, she left Tucker Carlson her frowny face.
I just don't
understand. It's so confusing. Why do liberals hate America so much?
Yeah.
And they really have, you know, they have the smirky face, the sneery face, and the pouty face, and the I'm so confused why liberals hate America face.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for tens of millions of people, is the news. And that is
and
all
I did not realize until I went and looked up the paperwork on this and where we had been and what was going on that week.
Yes.
The Sherrod story happened right during Netroots Nation.
Uh-huh.
Not surprising that Breitbart would find something to put himself on the front page during Netroots Nation 2010. You know, this was back when Netroots Nation mattered.
Yeah. Still sort of mattered. Yeah.
It sort of still matters. It's a different thing than it was.
Yeah.
You know, back then it was lots and lots of senators and representatives and potential presidential candidates showing up. So that there's that. I wanted to talk about a little bit more about Seth Rich, though, because this involves the White House.
Yes, it does.
And what I find fascinating about this, again, is the fact that you have no doubting Thomases there. When you say this story that the White House colluded with Fox, of course it's believable.
Yeah.
No one doubts that this could happen.
No, the excuse machine rolls into gears up, but not the fact that no, this could never have happened. This is crazy.
This could not have happened because the way the White House operates, if the president got involved with talking with Fox News about how to do a story, the chain of command in the White House would be involved to the point where they would have put a stop to it.
Yeah.
And that would be the case that would never happen in the Obama administration. But let's say I'm trying to think of a person who might try to do that, and I think of Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, LBJ might have tried to have done that, right?
Yeah.
Particularly with Vietnam. He might have tried to talk to somebody at CBS or one of the networks to get some coverage done that way. And somebody in the White House would have known about it and tried to stop him. And no one can stop Trump from doing anything.
No. And
that's the point.
Can I talk a little bit about the unreliable narrator, or shall I move on?
Yes, this is a perfect time to do that.
Okay, because I did a little post yesterday that's been read by over 40 people, Blue Gal. Well over 40 people have read this post. And I still write.
But look, this is what I'm going to interrupt you because I have done blog consulting for many people over the years since I started blogging in 2004, and you started blogging in 2005. Hard to believe it was that long ago.
I know. We've been doing this a while.
And the thing I always tell people who are starting a blog, and I haven't had to do this for a long time because everybody now just goes to Twitter, right?
Blogging's dead. Twitter storm, everybody over here. Tweet storm.
But when I talk to people about starting a blog, mm-hmm. I would say, look, if you are writing a blog, for instance, about state budgets, right? You can have 30 readers a day. If those 30 readers include the Senate president, the governor, and the governor's budget director, you have a successful blog.
You have a wildly successful influential blog. Yes. Absolutely. If you targeted, and you've talked to people like that, you've helped
people. Yeah, and I have. I've absolutely talked to people like that. Like, you do not need to have 10,000 readers the first month.
Don't need
if
cat
you
videos.
You need to have the people who matter. And what you and I have always done with our blogs, because we're old school.
Very old school.
Very old school.
HaloScan.
Friends are old school. And our bloggers, our blogger friends are old school. Most of them. Many of them. You know, Bush, we're Bush veterans, right? Is write for other bloggers. Write for other writers. Yes. And then pick up. The people that appreciate good writing, and that's what I'm always aiming for, is good writing. Those are the people you want to have reading. You want to have other writers reading your stuff. So I appreciate that 40 people read your blog yesterday. I happen to know a couple of them. Yeah, no, and you happen to have gotten feedback from people who are good writers.
Who get at the end, every 2 weeks, someone hands them a paycheck and says, you're still a writer. You're still a professional.
You're a professional writer.
I'm a professional writer. And actually, one of the commenters on this, the post is called Government by Unreliable Narrator. And one of my commenters, and I let anyone comment. I'm still old school about that. There's a few things I won't let through, but I pretty much let anybody say anything they want in the comment section. Mm-hmm. And one of my readers says that, by way of a compliment, that I have such an immense catalog of material to refer to that sometimes getting through a post requires clicking on a bunch of links to older posts for context, because all of this is in my head. God knows how many 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 posts I've done.
You and I have said this. Don't you love having archives?
Are all in my head. I mean, somewhere in my head. I can pull up, you know, flag burning stuff, Gingrich stuff.
Well,
you know.
That's because you and I have enough autism in our brains that we have visual memory. Yes. So it's like, oh, I remember that Photoshop, or I remember that. Yeah.
And so it was like this reader liked to see a self-contained essay like this from time to time. He says, I'm not complaining. Drift class going adrift, as I do. But I take that for what it's intended to be, which is a compliment about a self-contained thought that might give readers some context, understand what they're seeing. Because really, we're drowning in data and people are dying for context. Because it's just this undifferentiated shitstorm of nonsense and lies and insanity. And I said, look, try to understand it like this. In literature, there's a thing called the unreliable narrator. And the unreliable narrator is the character who's telling the story but cannot be believed. He's lying. And it may be because he's insane, or he has some crime he's trying to cover up, or deluded, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the unreliable narrator is a venerable way to tell a story and heighten tension when you're telling the story.
And it's a great way to keep the reader's interest because you want to know then you're actually part of the story to figure out who to trust and what to trust.
And
it's done a lot in the Twilight Zone too.
The elements of the narrator's insanity become part of the story.
Absolutely.
But my point was, back in the Watergate days, there was a congressman named Larry Hogan, and Larry Hogan was the guy who practically broke down in tears saying, my president allowed this to happen. I've known Nixon for years. I've been through with campaigns with him. I've known him, you know, since forever, and thought he was a good man. And then he read the transcripts and he said, and suddenly my president is talking about extortion and lying and silencing witnesses and bribing people and getting the, you know, gutting an FBI investigation. Mm-hmm. And he was furious. My president should have called the Justice Department and had these people arrested the first time they opened their mouths. How dare you say this? You're in the goddamn White House. But he didn't. He went along with it. And that's what broke his heart. What broke his heart was, at the end of the Nixon narrative, there was a twist ending that he wasn't satisfied. He didn't see it coming. Oh, my God. Nixon really is a monster. Oh, my God. You know, Kaiser Soze really is verbal kint. That's not, by the way, I just spoiled the entire Usual Suspects for you. Sorry about that.
That's an old movie.
The unreliable narrator in the Nixon story is that it turned out Nixon was a monster, and a bunch of people who'd known him for years were caught completely by surprise, or at least they alleged to be by surprise.
Right.
Here's the difference. Trump, no one is surprised by this.
Right.
No one is surprised. We saw this coming down fucking Michigan Avenue when he was coming down the goddamn escalator. We were writing about why the Republican Party is the perfect breeding ground for a fucking monster like this in 2015, before anybody was taking it seriously. We were saying, look, this guy's serious. I don't think he's going to get the nomination, but he could. And he could because the Republican Party is hollow and degenerate and insane. And it's that way because they made it that way. So the unreliable narrator in this case is the unreliable narrator from The Telltale Heart, who tells you in the first two paragraphs, I'm crazy. I hear things in my head. I'm a murderer. And now I'll tell you why I committed this crime. And everyone in the Republican Party, everyone in the media, everyone involved in politics or media at all has no excuse to not know what the fuck Donald Trump is doing. What happens is it exposes the character of the people who report on it. The media needs this paranoid, crazy nonsense about both sides do it to keep their jobs. So whatever the fuck Trump does, some liberal did something bad somewhere. We're just going to report it that way. And the Republican Party needs a hand, needs a guy with a pulse who can sign a tax cut.
Right.
And they're willing to sell whatever little vestige of their soul was left at the end of 2008 for just an animated hand who would sign.
The ability to look at their daughter in the face, as many of them said.
Yep.
You know, and they sold traded that in.
And and so there's nothing, there is nothing left on the right but conscienceless, sold out, evil men. And that is the story. And that is the one story that the media does not want to talk about. But the reason it's fascinating to me is because the unreliable narrator was present in this story from the very beginning. We all Donald Trump announced what he was, announced that he was a racist, announced that he was a liar, announced that he was a con man from jump. And the story of the Trump presidency is how completely okay the Republican base is with this kind of monster. And that tells you everything you need to know about them and about the party that Gingrich and Limbaugh and Hannity and the rest of them fucking built on purpose to this very day.
Yep. And I think also, I talked to you about this the other day, the belief in the future of America, in the general population, the belief that things are going to get better. And I'm guilty of this as well. I am a Pollyanna optimist. We're going to make the world a better place. I'm going to keep working. And that's the kind of person I am.
Yep.
But there was a myth that the media was telling us, that the pollsters were telling us, that we were all telling each other, that it was impossible for Donald Trump to win. I was looking 1 year ago this month. There was a tweet from Michael Cruz, who's with, I think, Politico. He's with Politico. And he had a tweet in August of 2016. He said, quoting Quinnipiac Poll's Tim Malloy, "We are starting to hear the faint rumblings of a Hillary Clinton landslide." And this went on from August to November. And it went on through, and that last minute email thing was in part the thing that burst the bubble, that Jim Comey needing to do an end run around the New York FBI office. And that's what it was, because Congress was going to leak and the FBI office in New York was going to leak the fact that there was still some question about her emails. And he had to do something about that. And Republican congressmen are colluding, by the way, with the FBI office in New York. They colluded this week with Hannity by sending a letter to the Justice Department demanding more investigations into Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yes, they don't want that. That's what the House Judiciary Committee wants.
That's what they want.
Hillary Clinton and the real Russia conspiracy. They're never going to stop until they are dragged from office. They're never going to stop.
They're never going to stop. And they're going to want investigation after investigation, because that was the plan all along.
Right.
When Trump lost and Hillary won, they were ready on day one to start impeachment hearings.
Oh, they were. Absolutely.
Mo Brooks wanted impeachment hearings.
And they don't even need a real Hillary Clinton. They can just keep...
No. Exactly.
You know, they can keep resurrecting the straw person, Hillary Clinton, the imaginary, and keep yelling at her and investigating her and demanding answers from her and keeping the pig people distracted from the fact
and instead of Cal Exit 3 nights ago, it was the House Judiciary Committee has sent a letter to the Department of Justice finally to get to the bottom of this whole Hillary Clinton mess.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With the Russians and the uranium. And, of course, uranium and weapons-grade plutonium in the ears of a Trump supporter of Fox News viewer. It's the same thing.
She drove a truck.
It's the same thing.
She drove that truck over there to them Russians and gave all of our precious uraniums away.
The weapons. The weapons-grade uranium. No, she didn't give weapons-grade plutonium. It wasn't for a bomb. It wasn't anything like that.
It wasn't her.
It was signed off by 18 people. No, this is Hillary Clinton's uranium,
right.
And it goes along with Solyndra. It goes along with Shirley Sherrod.
Well, I
made my list again this week.
Yeah, go back to the Clinton administration. It goes back to the Lincoln bedroom. It goes back to Christmas card.
The Christmas card
goes
list.
Goes back to Whitewater. These
and
people.
So, and now, and it culminates with Seth Rich.
Right.
And colluding with House members, because this is state-run media, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be put down.
And until, seriously, until these people are driven from office, not just lose, they need to be broken. They need to be beaten so badly, so decisively. And it won't matter. It won't stop them, of course. They'll, you know, Donald Trump's plan after he lost Hillary Clinton was to go on his I Was Screwed tour and make a fortune off
and, of. And make his own show at Fox. Yeah,
that
sure.
That was the plan.
And these House members as well. When they lose their seats, you know, what did Jason Chaffetz do? He goes and sits on the crotch couch.
Right.
So Hannity, by the way, makes $2.4 million a month to lie to people and make them angry about Hillary Clinton or the Democrats or, you know, whatever the du jour outrage of the day is to allow Donald Trump to continue to destroy civil rights in this country.
Yeah.
To destroy our infrastructure, to destroy our standing in the world, and be isolationist, authoritarian, and it is shirts versus skins all the time over there.
Yeah.
That's all politics is.
And that's why it's vitally important for the mainstream media and the conservative Republicans / whatevers who've decided to join the centrist, you know, third way, both sides crowd to continue to maintain the fantasy that there's a third way between the evils on the right and the equal and opposite evils on the left. And the corrupt duopoly is the real problem. And you know what? I'm willing to have a debate with anybody about the corrupt duopoly once the Republican Party is burned to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And once they have no power at all, once their entire ideology is as filthy and as discredited as open segregationism. And because this happened briefly for a hot minute, it was so shameful to be a Republican. They had to put on funny hats and call themselves independents, but they didn't stop believing the bullshit they believed. They became the Tea Party. Then they became the Trump voter, but they're all the same fucking people. They are the problem and they are being fed a constant diet of ever increasing toxic, violent bullshit by everyone we know.
You know, Drift Glass, there's something else that's more that you just made me think of, this Tea Party hats.
Yes.
I wrote a post this week about Abraham Lincoln and the movie Lincoln, the 2012 movie Lincoln, and how
he's very near here.
He's very near here. Alexander Stephens.
Yes. Vice President of the Confederacy.
Vice President of the Confederacy negotiating with Lincoln for the Confederate States to re-enter the Union in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is beautifully cast.
Mm-hmm.
The makeup is perfect. If you look at pictures of Alexander Stephens and then go watch this movie, it's like, oh my gosh, they really made everybody look like these people.
Yep.
Alexander Stephens asks Lincoln, you know, I'm going to be blunt with you, Mr. Lincoln. We want to get back into the Union in time to defeat the 13th Amendment.
Right. That's the only reason we're coming in.
We're coming back in so that we can keep slavery.
Right.
And Lincoln looks at him and says, no.
No. Fuck no.
You're actually ratifying the 13th Amendment is a condition for you to get back in the Union. Well, nobody's going to do that. No, Arkansas already has.
Nope.
And
Stevenson knew the wavering states. He wasn't stupid. As a politician, he knew which states were on the fence and he knew he was going to lose. That's why he was suing for peace as soon as possible.
Right.
So he could get in and sabotage it.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason I wrote this post about that particular movie clip is that is this bipartisan effort to fix Obamacare.
Why can't we all get along so good?
We're going to do the Problem Solvers Caucus. And this is the Tea Party hat of 2017. I am not a Trump dead-ender repeal Obamacare. We never did that. You know, the last 7 years never happened. We are working with Democrats to fix Obamacare because they see what they see where their constituents are. They see what's happening in their town halls. They see what's happening with people walking up and hugging John McCain.
Yeah.
Who walks up and hugs John McCain?
Yeah.
Now,
Not even Mrs. McCain.
Not even Mrs. McCain. Right. They are walking up and hugging him, not because he has cancer. They're walking up and hugging him in tears because they were going to lose their health insurance. You know, the thank yous that are going out to the Alaska senator.
Murkowski.
And to Collins. Susan Collins.
Yeah.
You know, someone on Twitter, with Topher Spiro, was saying, is anybody thanking any of the people who voted for the skinny repeal and running up and hugging them, thanking them for sticking to their guns on taking away health insurance from at least 16 million people? Is anyone doing that? No. So these Republicans in the House and Senate now, today was the Senate's turn to say, yes, we're going to have hearings. Yes, we're going to come up with a bill. And then there's going to be a real conference.
Mm-hmm.
And the interview that Stephanie Ruhle, who I've really starting to like because she's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
She did with the two chairmen of the caucus, you know,
the problem solver caucus.
Problem solvers.
Named
problem
by solver. A fourth grade teacher.
And all the problem solvers videos are posted on YouTube by No Labels.
No Labels.
You know, it is just, it's absolutely this thing. Mm-hmm. And she does a lightning round in my post. I did put the video up for this too. She does a lightning round of, are you going to do this? Yes or no? Are you going to do this? And she asked both of them, the Democrat and the Republican, who are co-chairing this committee, are you going to expand Medicaid?
Yes.
You're both in a expand Medicaid state. We are going to leave that off the table because that's an item of contention, but we're going to work on other things. That's what the Republicans said.
That's a,
and
yes.
The Democrats said, yes,
yes, of course
we love expanding Medicaid. All right. Second thing, is pregnancy a basic care item that has to be covered by insurance? Yes. Yes. Okay. That's done. Are you going to shore up the exchanges? Are you going to put more money in the exchanges where there's only one insurer to attract more insurers? Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah. Individual mandate. Are you going to stick with the individual mandate? We're going to just leave that off the table.
Yeah.
And the Democrat goes, yes, we love the individual mandate. We need to have that to keep the exchanges stable. So, yes. And it was, you know, you're not going to be allowed to say slavery. Oh, I mean, repeal.
Yeah.
Ever again. No. It's over. The word repeal is not part of the conversation anymore. And that is the condition by which we will let you stay in this Congress and be taken seriously as a candidate for re-election.
Now can I mention a difference, though? The difference is, you know, there'll be Reconstruction. You'll be welcomed back in as brethren. You know, and I believe in that clip there was that, you know, this is the condescension of conquerors. No.
Right, right.
This is, you'll be welcomed back in as a citizen of the United States. So shut up.
Right.
You know,
right.
But there is a condition attached to an implicit condition that you can see in the media everywhere. And it's been there for years. The same.
Which is both sides.
Exactly. The same John McCain, who people have been hugging and weeping, and that's great. Good for him. Was the same John McCain who kept insisting the Affordable Care Act was rammed through Congress by Democrats on a strict party line basis.
Right.
And Joan Walsh years ago pointed out that this is bullshit. Mitch McConnell in the New York Times years ago said explicitly the plan is to obstruct everything.
Yeah.
Obstruct everything.
He filibustered his own bill.
Because, and this was specifically about the Affordable Care Act, because if anybody on our side goes over there, then it becomes bipartisan, and then we have a different ballgame. So we have to keep everybody voting against it all the time, no matter what. That was the plan. And the plan worked.
Yes,
but
it did.
But now that it has come home to roost, all of the enablers of these scumbags in the media
are conveniently forgetting.
Perfectly willing to let Republicans go on camera and say, well, you know, Democrats rammed it through and they didn't give a damn what we had to say. And Republicans, well, we just made the same mistake those goddamn fucking liberals did.
Exactly.
Now us boys in the middle are going to come in and set things right.
No, and bullshit. That's just rewriting history. Goddamn bullshit.
And it's bullshit.
It's absolute bullshit.
And it's bullshit to protect Chuck Todd's job. Because Chuck Todd cannot entertain a debate on Meet the Press between people who have been trying to fuck over tens of millions of Americans for 20 years and people who have been desperately trying to overcome these evil men to help those people. That is not a story.
Because that club is where people go for Chuck Todd's book party. Right. That's where they go, you know, they're in his Rolodex to be on his show and fill 15 minutes. And he needs them.
Which brings us to bring me the head of Chris Cillizza.
Bring me the head of Chris Cillizza.
We made a partial list of the media parasites who are currently headed for the lifeboats, which we have dedicated ourselves to burning before they can reach them.
The lifeboats, that's right.
And it's very important to notice how many of these people have simply ripped off the entire liberal critique of the Republican Party wholesale. People who, and this is a liberal critique that goes back decades. This is a liberal critique for which people like you and I were called traitors.
Griff Glass, I have to ask you something.
Yes, my dear.
What is your feeling about the fact that you and I are doomed to fail?
I'm okay with that. I think it is inevitable that if you're a liberal, you will be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will.
I feel that way too. You'll
never have perfect.
But I also feel like I feel as though the effort is worth the trial. It's worth it to. It's worth it to try. It's worth it to chip away.
And the thousands of people who listen to this, and it's up into the many thousands of people now.
Yes, it is.
Which
it is.
Quite,
thank you.
Quite weird and remarkable.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening.
We get feedback from you all the time. And what we do is apparently of some value to you. So we're going to keep. So in that regard, we don't fail. We never fail. We can't fail.
That's
professional
right.
Professional left can't fail. It can only be failed.
Well, I just always think that every time we get an email from someone that says, you keep me sane, or we get that $5 check, and in the memo line, it says therapy.
We get a lot of those.
We get quite a few of those. The cheapest therapy you've ever had is this $5 contribution that we then say thank you and appreciate so much. You know, this is for us. When I get that, and when I get that kind of feedback, or when I cry on the podcast over healthcare or whatever it is,
which happened again this week, sort of. But
I get email from people saying, "Oh yeah, it did." Yeah. But anyway, we get email saying, "You said what I needed to hear. You said the pain and anguish that I have been holding in my heart for 6 months, and gave voice to it. And thank you for doing that." That makes me feel more sane. That is therapy for me to know I'm not alone.
Well, and you and I will reveal one of our dark and terrible secrets now. 400 episodes. I think it's time we started telling people about us. A little bit personal, a little bit of personal stuff. We both love crossword puzzles.
Yes, we do.
And there's a moment, as many of you experience, when you find the right word. There's a little shot of something. There's a little shot of adrenaline and pleasure. In your brain that's the word I was looking for. And it clicks into place.
Yep. And when you and I do them together and you come up with something amazing or I come up with, I know that one. And it's like, I'm married to a very smart person.
And I like to think that at least part of what we do is, and this is what we've heard back from our listeners, from you guys, is that we give you the right words sometimes. I was trying to figure out why this was driving me crazy. This explanation makes sense of the thing that made no sense at all to me. The number of people who are now walking around swaggering, you know, waving their genitalia around, talking about both-siderism is incredibly encouraging. I see it all
we
over.
We are in small part responsible for that.
Yes, we are.
And
now it's a punchline.
Yeah.
Now yeah. it's just that's yeah. that I put the hand up. No, I don't have to. Once you said yeah about the Democrats, I know I don't need to listen to you anymore.
Exactly.
You have an agenda.
And people have cut all other people off on Twitter and said, whoops, that is both-siderism. Yep. You don't need to go there. Just cut it off. Right.
And speaking of both.
Both-siderism.
And a short list of people who, my opinion, and this is since these people are now making a living by ripping off liberals mm-hmm. and never mentioning liberals exist at all. And just coming out as edgy, thoughtful conservatives or centrists or whatevers who have had this revelation. And the revelation happens to match exactly what liberals have been saying for the last 20 years. And again, revelations for which liberals were made into scapegoats, pariahs, mm-hmm. and unemployable, dirty hippies living under a bridge who couldn't get a job anywhere, who couldn't get a return phone call in the media because – if you stand up and say, no, the problem is the goddamn Republican Party in 2004, the entire world drops a house on you. Just ask the Dixie Chicks. And that's exactly what, you know, old school, dirty liberal bloggers like us were doing. So weirdly, here we are 13 years later. That's a long time. And Peggy Noonan is writing liberal shit all the time. Jeff Flake just wrote an entire fucking book. That looks like a bunch.
And I did a post
yes,
about that.
Yes, you did. I was hoping you'd talk about that.
Yeah, he was on Chris Matthews yesterday to talk about his book.
He's everywhere.
Conscience of a Conservative. And he is everywhere. And he is the darling of the mainstream media because he fits into their narrative of, look, here's a Republican being critical of Trump.
Oh.
And all of these people on this list are the darlings of the mainstream
well, they all have
for
jobs.
This reason.
They all have jobs.
They all have jobs. They all have paid places.
They all have,
on...
Let me be very clear. And I said this last week and I'll say it again this week. They have jobs that belong to liberals. They're sitting in Merrick Garland's seat.
That's right. They are.
These seats have been stolen from the people that got it right.
Crossword
from the
puzzle
beginning.
Moment.
these are the people who stole our narrative, who stole our vocabulary, who have spent years shitting on us and calling us monsters and stupid and traitors and scum. And now they are ripping us off and reaping rewards from it. But without ever mentioning we even exist. And that's theft of the highest order. And Jeff Flake, as a senator, is angling for a position as, you know, a problem solver in the middle. But now tell people.
He wants to be John Kasich's running mate is what he wants to
do. But he doesn't want to say it out loud.
He doesn't want to say it out loud. And this is the amazing thing, because he's being interviewed about the book. And in the book, he's tough on Trump and calls him, has a mania. And he's difficult. He's all of the problems that people have with Trump. He is on it in the book. And this excites Chris Matthews very much. So Chris Matthews starts to interview him about Trump's demagoguery, and literally Jeff Flake says, well, all politicians are demagogues, we're all demagogues one way or another, and Trump is every once in a while. And eventually, after about 4 minutes of both sides, and we're doing, and we just need to work together and so forth. Chris Matthews says, the tone of this book and the tone of you in this room are not matching up. So Jeff Flake says, well, let me talk to you about what's in the book. He said, good. And he starts to talk and he says, both sides. Yep. And Chris Matthews says, we're talking about your side. Let's talk about your side. Mm-hmm. And again, it is just like pulling teeth. He doesn't want to read from his own book.
Why do you think that is, Blue
Gal? It occurred to me to go and check to see, because you and I are listening to the audiobook all summer of
Al Franken. A Lion of the Senate.
Book, a Giant in the Senate. Giant in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Giant of the Senate, I think it is. And, of course, it's read by the author because that's why you get an Al Franken audiobook. You want Al Franken to read it, right? This book that Jeff Flake wrote is, first of all, it's very short.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't read it for the audiobook. He read the preface, which is obviously thanking his staff or other people and talking about why he's here as, trying to be a reasonable conservative who's got true conservative principles, which he's always willing to talk about. I want to talk about true conservative principles of resisting No Child Left Behind. Really? That's what you want to talk about? And he didn't record his own audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to be on the record with his voice saying anything that's in this book about Donald Trump's demagoguery, about how crazy the president is, mm-hmm. and how harmful he is to the nation, because he doesn't want that in an attack ad, or he doesn't want to be primaried based on it. He doesn't want any of that. He doesn't want to be on the record on television or audio saying anything that's in his book. And why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Because
then it goes in the attack.
Chris Matthews got a copy of Jeff Flake's book from the publisher for free.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because he's a Beltway guy, he's going to read it or at least leaf through it and interview him on it. Other people like Chris Matthews are going to read this book. The Beltway is going to read this book. Trump supporters aren't going to read this
book.
No,
of course not.
Donald Trump isn't going to read this
no.
book. No one in the far right, the alt-right, is going to read this book. They will see attack ads where he's reading this book or where he's talking about Donald Trump's demagoguery. There was an email from Right Wing that I happen to be on the list of, this right wing website, just to get these.
Just happened to be. Just a coincidence.
Right wing. Oh, it's so funny. And here it is. Richard Viguerie.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember him?
Yeah, the king of the godfather of Republican direct mail propaganda.
Direct mail.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's got conservative HQ Daily Digest
yep.
that, you know, he puts in my email box every day. We urge CHQ readers to skip Flake's screed against the voters he has failed as a member of Congress and read the original Goldwater/Bozell version.
Yes.
Brent Bozell version
yeah.
of Conscience of a Conservative instead. Because Brent Bozell has, of course, written an introduction to Barry Goldwater's old
yeah.
anti-New Deal book, Conscience of a Conservative.
Brent Bozell has rubbed his dick all over it, and now he's part
right.
of it. Yeah.
And so now that's the one you want to buy, because that's the good one. And so, but why wouldn't you go and read that and mark it and make Jeff Flake accountable for what he said?
Well, the point being that Jeff Flake doesn't want to say out loud shit that will show up in his voice in an attack ad against him.
Exactly.
He doesn't
exactly.
want sound
he's
bites.
He's a coward.
Yeah, he's a fucking coward.
He's a coward.
If he weren't a coward, he would have left the Republican Party.
And he did not write this book in order to stand up to Trump.
No.
He wrote this book, like everyone else on our list mm-hmm. that you're going to read, to position himself
right.
for post-apocalyptic Republican Party.
And when I hear people talking mightily and, oh, at least finally, so-and-so mm-hmm. has come around and they've finally seen
yeah.
the light. No, a windsock doesn't have a conscience. The
yes.
wind just shifted. So Rick Wilson is now perfectly willing to appropriate the liberal critique of the conservatism. Because it serves his personal and career and financial interest to do so. When the
yeah.
wind shifts again, he will shift again. He doesn't have a moral center. If he had a moral conscience, he would never have been a member of the fucking Republican Party up until 10 minutes ago, when it became more professionally and financially advantageous to become a centrist guy, an outspoken conservative critic. He just wants to save conservatism from all the conservatives. You know, he wants to save the Republican Party from all those goddamn Republicans. And the list is Peggy Noonan, Jeff Flake, Charlie Sykes, you know, the Wisconsin's own mini Rush Limbaugh, who decided to retire from radio and then resurrect himself 5 minutes later as the conscience of a conservative radio host, who is
yeah.
ubiquitous on MSNBC. He went
mm-hmm.
he went straight to TV, doing a job that any liberal who was not afraid of a camera could do. Because
mm-hmm.
everything that comes out of his mouth is shit that liberals have been saying for 20 goddamn years. Mark McKinnon, who was Matthew Dowd's partner in their own little consulting firm down in Texas, you'll see him on panels every now and then. He's right in the middle. He's a both siderist, no label kind of guy. Rick Wilson, again, I look better on TV than Rick Wilson does. I'm not the most handsomest man in the world, but I put me next to Rick Wilson and you will say, you know,
you're very handsome.
I won't scare you kids. and I can say all the things that Rick Wilson has suddenly found the tongue to say, mm-hmm. and say that without having to explain that I didn't believe any of the shit until 10 minutes ago when it became financially advantageous to believe it. George Will is suddenly NBC's biggest guest because he stepped over the line at Fox and they fired him. And that's what happens. Bill Kristol stepped over the line at Fox. They fired him. ABC hires him. Now he's on NBC. It almost doesn't matter who you work for anymore because there's this fungible pile of people. David Brooks is one of them. Ross Douthat is one of them. Jennifer Rubin, bless her heart, comes awfully close sometimes. It even does say basically the left was right about us every now and then. But you know what? That's great. Why don't you, since you got it wrong for so long, why don't you go off and do something else and let a liberal write liberal things? And you go off and tend a garden or take a sewing class or work with the poor or do something that's good for your conscience. But get the fuck out of the seat that should be occupied by a liberal. Joe Scarborough. Joe, Trump's a Democrat. You know, Trump was a Democrat his whole life. Trump's a Democrat. Again, another late to the party, suddenly looked at the crystal ball and decided that he was going to become the voice of conservative reasonableness. And if you've been following Joe Scarborough for any length of time, he's a fucking meathead. He's a right-wing Florida Republican who had no problem with any of this shit right up until who was giving Donald Trump foot massages 18 months ago. And now that Donald Trump has personally insulted his girlfriend and attacked him from a position of great power, suddenly Joe Scarborough.
Well, and it does make you wonder how long Donald Trump knew about their personal relationship to the point where they did act as their own PR people to their credit and trade interviews for their privacy. You know, Joe and Mika, they did do that. Yeah. They did say, look, you know, please keep this private and we'll do you a solid. And you got to wonder whether all of last summer with from New Hampshire until they had the serious falling out, whether it was really about him knowing about their relationship.
Well, and
I don't know.
And Trump said as much.
Yeah, well, the timeline of that is odd and will probably never be revealed until Donald Trump has his own show on Fox and tells everybody.
Well, this is all of the, about the dog that doesn't bark. This is about why the hell is this big, important house on fire, 10-alarm fire, blazing, crazy story being wildly ignored by the people whose job it is to report on it. There must be a reason why they avert their gaze. There must be a reason why they are not going to point at the crazy man and say that man is crazy. And that
And why are they not all calling for his resignation because he's crazy? And that's what I've been asking you all week is with every passing moment when he does something that is clearly obstructing justice, violating the emoluments clause, or simply being unfit for office. Why are they not then saying he needs to resign?
Well, then I think we should go on the record, Blue Gal.
Yeah. We at the professional left officially are calling for the resignation of Donald Trump.
And most of the key members of the administration.
Everybody.
Yeah, everyone. Everyone.
Clean out the White House and everybody clean out your desk and go. Yeah. Yes.
It's a trash.
President, Vice President. On down.
All the way down. And I'm including Paul Ryan, who absolutely has been on board, who's shown himself to be. Because Trump is just, you know, a shit pile of a human being. Yep. He's just an awful person from top to bottom. But Paul Ryan made pretenses at having a higher intellectual and moral calling. And now we know, no, he's just a dirtbag like the rest of them. He is just as awful. And he is even worse because he's willing to pass legislation that will kill people with a smile on his face.
Yep, and then go have a beer party.
And then go to church.
With Trump and pat him on the back and say, yeah, you're president. Isn't that great?
It is part of
let's finish up your list.
Oh yeah. Well, part of the pleasure of being a nobody is being able to change my blog header to a quote from Matthew Dowd saying, who's the ABC's news chief political analyst, mind you. I'm a nobody. I'm a middle-aged man, the middle of middle America. And I podcast once a week with my wife and I blog sometimes. But I have gotten under the skin of the chief political analyst of ABC News to the point where he's blocked me long ago for saying exactly what I say on this podcast, which is both sides don't. It's as simple as that. Everything else is a variation on that theme. Both sides don't. And if you say they do, then you're lying, and you're lying for a reason. Let's figure out what the reason is that you're lying. But Matthew Dowling said, if you read Drift Class, then you don't care much for the truth. Yay! But watch.
You made it.
I did. I made it. I've been hated by Matthew Dowling. That was never, believe me, when I was a little boy, I was a little Drift Class. When I was a wee shot glass, I did not say, one day I want to grow up and be hated by the head of ABC News. No, that was never my goal in life. But it is important to – it is interesting to watch how on his timeline, which you can watch on another Twitter account, which maybe I have and maybe I don't, watch the right wing that I've been telling him has been out there all this time crawl up his ass and just attack him relentlessly every day, sometimes with good reason, but just beat the shit out of him. They line up to prove I'm right all day long. And Matthew Dowd, for whatever – complex psychological, sociological, economic reasons cannot admit that they are the problem. They're Trump. They're not really voters. They're Trump fans. But he needs to be in that both sides boat because that's the only protective carapace around his career. And he's willing to pretty much do anything. And you listen to what he says every now and then about his policy decisions. He wants single payer. You know, he wants basically everything he wants is straight out of the liberal handbook. But he, like Andrew Sullivan, he can't call himself a liberal because the minute he calls himself a liberal, he becomes unemployable.
Yeah, like us.
Yeah, well, then you have to start.
Hey, Drift Class, we're running out of time.
Oh, then the National Review and Matt Lewis, and we're done.
Yeah, and we're done. We have an announcement to make. This is something that's been in existence for a while, but we've never announced it on the podcast before. And we want you guys to know about it. There is a website that we have called proleft.buzzsprout, BUZZSPROUT.com. Mm-hmm. That is provided to us by our podcasting hosting service.
You're giving all our secrets away, Blue Gal.
I know. proleft.buzzsprout.com. Buzzsprout.com is our podcasting hosting service. They have been for a very long time. Mm-hmm. We're grandfathered into their oldest plan. Yep. And their customer service has just been great. I'm not saying any of that because they're paying us to do it. I'm just saying I have always been very happy with them.
I too, yeah.
And so they provide us with this space, proleft.buzzsprout.com, which has our entire archive of episodes.
Yes, it does.
All 400 episodes are there at proleft.buzzsprout.com. You can go back and listen. And I just want to suggest to you a few episodes that you might want to go and check out. Mm-hmm. And I will post this. I will copy this onto my blog, Blue Gal, and you can, Drift Class, copy it onto your blog. Going back to a time before we actually numbered episodes. Yeah. You can hear our reaction to Shirley Sherrod's firing.
Yeah.
Our first year podcast, we started podcasting, and I wouldn't listen to the first episode. I think I was drunk.
Yeah. I'm sure I was, yeah. Oh, that's before.
Yeah.
Well, let's be clear. That's before we were married.
It was. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm getting to that.
Oh, sorry.
But July 23rd, 2010 was the Shirley Sherrod as an employment story episode. Yeah. Then on November 19th, 2010, we did an episode on Jon Stewart and the rally to restore sanity, which we talked about as an example of how people react in an alcoholic family. Mm-hmm. And that's a very good episode because we talk about a speech that Rachel Maddow gave at Harvard, and we talk about an episode of Susie Bright and a lot of other things. And November 19th, 2010 episode. It's a good one. We announced our engagement on February 11th. The Valentine's Week episode,
yes.
2011, February 11th, 2011. And then August 19th, 2011 is our wedding day. That was a Friday, and we had a podcast out that day.
We did. Crooked Media.
So,
come on, people. Get your shit together, man. Yeah, I noticed that you didn't put in the surgery day, which I'm grateful
for. No, I didn't put in the surgery day on the list. There were a number of days that were hard days that I did, that we still podcasted.
Yes, we did.
The basement flooded and other things, but I'm trying to keep this a little bit upbeat and highlights, not lowlights.
I survived the surgery.
Spoiler alert. So that was that. By then we were numbering episodes. That was episode 89 was our wedding day episode. Then skipping ahead to episode 193, both sides don't have birthers.
Yeah.
We started really getting into the both siderism stuff.
That should have been a mic drop there. That's okay. We're done.
episode 200, you know, the halfway point between then and now, was the government shutdown of 2013 episode, where they were shutting down the government to keep the Bush tax cuts going for one more
year.
Remember
that?
And it worked.
Remember that? Yeah, if you hold the government hostage, you can get whatever you want.
Government.
By the way, can I add one brief aside?
Yes.
I have strongly urged everyone, every elected Democrat in Congress, whether you're in the Senate or the House, when it comes time for the debt ceiling debate, everyone start making fucking insane demands. I mean insane demands. Like, I insist that the moon be moved exactly 400 miles closer to the Earth. I insist that every Tuesday is taco day back to the beginning of time. I insist that we worship Thor every week. I insist that H.R. Puffin stuff be elected principle of the universe. Just crazy shit. And everyone, as you're making your crazy ass demands, needs to wear a Mitch McConnell mask while you do it. And stare out at the – and do it in your turtle voice if you can. I insist that H.R. Puffin stuff be declared emperor of the known universe with full power of life and death over all living things. And just keep at it. And don't take the masks off. They'll never know who you are. They'll never know which one's which. They all dress in the same Mitch McConnell suit, and you all wear the same mask, and you file in there. It's your own version of V for Vendetta. You're all wearing the same fucking mask. It's all – and it's a reminder that – remember when you held the whole fucking government hostage, you assholes, over let's keep the Bush tax cuts in place. I'd rather screw people out of their unemployment.
For 12 months was how long you kept it.
Yep.
Going. Yeah. And you were willing to hold on to that.
For the worst moments possible.
And Sean Hannity had a clock in the corner of his show. Countdown to the biggest tax hike in history.
Exactly.
When all you were doing was making those terrible Bush tax cuts. By the way, fuck these tax cuts.
Yeah.
I hope the resistance goes full bore against tax cuts.
Oh.
Just no.
Well, we are the resistance. So
no tax cuts.
Yeah. But anyway, that was episode 200 back in 2013. Ah, yes.
Yeah. How about instead of repatriation of funds, we go and invade St. John's and the Cayman Islands and steal their computers and their hard drives and take all of the money. And if you're an American citizen, you can file a claim to get your money back minus 65%.
You know what this is? This is the Lannister plan for Highgarden.
See?
We're coming after the gold. Yeah. We're coming after the gold. We know where it is. We know who's hoarding it, and we're coming after it.
We're coming
Spoiler.
After it. And you can have it, but you're going to pay your 65% tax to bring it back into the country. And we know you've got $1 billion, you know, ExxonMobil. Mm-hmm. Sitting offshore. We know how much Apple is hoarding, how much cash they're sitting on. We're going to repatriate it for you, and you can make a claim for it and prove that claim, and we'll give it back to you minus taxes.
Elizabeth Warren will be reviewing all your claims in the order. Then we can jump back in time a little bit to 2012.
Yeah,
election day.
We do. Episode 153 was election 2012, and episode 362 was election 2016. That was a very sad day, boy, but there's some hopeful words at the end of that episode from Junior Dude and Middle Child, who, you know, were ready for the resistance right away.
We did an episode about Citizens United in 2014. That was episode 226.
Yep. Yeah, and one of my favorite episodes, just because it was the middle of the summer. Not an election year, just much like today, except it seemed to be a calmer time, Driff Glass.
It was hope on the horizon.
Yeah. It was episode 295, July 31st, 2015. Is Cecil the Lion a proxy war? And if you remember, it was a white man dentist who went to Africa and shot this important lion, Cecil the Lion, and created a lot of outrage on the internet over Cecil being murdered. And I talk about what kind of proxy war it is and what the proxy is about, what that fight was about. So that's just a list. Today's episode 400. And you can, like I said, go to proleft.buzzsprout.com. There is a list of them. You can click on any of them. And there's also a description of each one underneath.
And you scroll down.
You scroll down and look at them.
Are we recording this on Wednesday night? Because We got a hell of a week coming up. We got to be quick like bunnies first thing tomorrow morning, and then we're not back in fighting shape for a couple of days. So we have to do this Wednesday.
We're going to go pick up our kids and bring them home from their international
travels.
And they're going to be very worldly when they get back. They went with their dad one last big trip before Junior Dude goes to college. And their stepsister... if I can give a little detail, their stepsister, who I raised from the age of 14 on, lives in Sweden. She is a professor in Sweden. So they went to see her. And it's a big trip. You know, it's just a really big trip. But it was a way for their dad to get all of his biological children together in a foreign country, you know, in a place the kids hadn't been before. And make a big deal out of it. And I think they had a good time.
And they'll remember for the rest of their life. My parents were poor as church mice, but we went around the world. Mm-hmm. We lived overseas for a couple of years, and we traveled around the world, living in little hotels and places. I remember it to this very day. It shapes your life in ways you won't understand for decades.
Well, and I try to give the kids other experiences. I can't afford to take them to Sweden. Right. The divorce settlement was he got the three houses and I got the three kids and I got the better deal. So, but he, you know, he's giving them this experience and things are cordial. And I'm glad that the kids were able to do this summer.
Now, would you like to do a fast round robin of this week just as it happened?
Sure.
I'll be very quick about this. I'll read them not too fast so people can actually hear it. But this week is the week that Trump endorsed the Senate bill to slash legal immigration, to cut legal, not illegal immigration, to cut legal immigration, because that's just how they roll. This is also the week that the Justice Department decided it would sue universities because of the cruel discrimination against white people. So we have to turn the Justice Department, the Civil Rights Division, I believe, over on its head and start protecting white people from the predations of the discrimination at the hands of the coloreds.
As Stephanie Rule said, who's going to look after the lacrosse players?
Exactly. What about the lacrosse players?
Trump cannot stop lying about who called him. The president of Mexico called him? No, he didn't. The Boy Scouts called him and said it was the greatest speech ever? No, they didn't. So he just likes to lie about things like that.
And they're
all
the same lie, which is, I just did the great, I just had the biggest poop that anyone ever had in the bowl and it didn't splash out and I wiped myself. Look, here it is. Here's my big poop. And that's all he knows how to do is lie about whatever the fuck he just did is the greatest thing of that type that anyone ever did in history. And anyone who says, and then you have, you know, his.
And he has to have confirmation from an outside source, so he makes one up.
And he invents one, and then he sends his creepy team out to lie for him, and they look like the idiots that they are. And that's the cycle we're in, folks, until they resign or until Robert Mueller claps them all in irons and hauls them away. This is what we're going to be living with. The top Ag Department science job, the person up for that job is a non-scientist named Sam Clovis. I believe he's a human pig hybrid. I'm not sure.
That's not nice.
I'm a bad person. When have I ever said anything other than a bad person? Who called progressives race traitors and called Obama a communist and a dictator? Some words to that effect.
So Trump loves him, and so does Trump's
face.
He's
available, ladies. I think he's available. This was the week we discovered that Rex Tillerson, you know, the Secretary of State, refuses to spend nearly $80 million that the Congress allocated to fight.
It's already budgeted.
It's there.
Folks.
The money is there. There's $60 million in the pot and $20 million that's sitting there in his hand to fight terrorist propaganda and, wait for it, Russian disinformation. And Rex Tillerson.
He said he thought that might agitate the Russian government.
Make him mad. If we start calling liars liars.
Why don't we start fucking agitating the Russian government, folks?
Yeah, but Rex Tillerson.
I'm agitated.
Who's, you know, who is a hand-holding medal award winning Putin.
Award Putin buddy.
Doesn't want to spend your tax dollars to protect your country from their intrusions, invasions, and interference. The Secretary of State of the United States doesn't want to do that with money he already has. This is the week that Donald Trump told a friend that he thought the White House was a real dump. And we all remember back when Barack Obama wore a brown suit and was impeached and put his feet up on a desk once. And the right wing lost its fucking mind until, of course. Mm-hmm. And I believe me, I got to like everyone else out there. I have a crazy Uncle Liberty or two or five who send along. Can you believe he did this? And then, of course, you send back to them pictures of Reagan with his feet up and Nixon with his feet up and Ford with his feet up, and Bush, both Bushes with their feet up, and like, well, you know, liberal something. And then we're off to Shirley Sherrod. It's never like, I've learned my lesson, I'm not going to listen to liars anymore. It's always, holy crap, now I have to think of another lie to prop up the fact that I'm basically a horrible person. And we learned this week that Donald Trump did personally dictate his idiot son's statement about meeting with a Russian.
Because of course he did.
Because he can't
keep his fingers out of anything.
He can't help himself. And you know what? I mean, he marched his lawyers out there to lie about it and lie about it and deny it. Flat out, categorical, never happened. Except, of course, it did. And now it's like, well, you know, any father would do that. Really, any father, any loving father of a criminally minded, inbred, you know, freak.
Would drive the getaway car for their murdering armed robber child.
I mean, we've all seen Sin City. We know what Senator Rourke did for his mutant child, you know.
Let's be clear, too. This is Don Jr., who has been put in charge of the Trump organization. Right. And to keep it separate from his dad, and he can't write out his own excuse.
No, it's got this. I gotta look. Just give it to me. I'll do it. Okay. I'll just do it. Here, you got all this wrong. It's the biggest and best thing that ever happened, and it never happened, and so on. Yes, Pop Pop. That's right. Don't make me take the belt off, because I'll do it. Okay, Pop Pop. And this is how they've been raised. You know, I on one level, I feel really sorry for people who are this fucked up for the rest of their life because their father's a monster. But their father is a monster, and as a monster, he should go back to doing crappy television shows and not ruin the country that I live in. But that all happened this week, and I'm sure by the time this hits the air in like 36 hours, 10 more things will pile up. But remember, you heard it here first.
Oh, yeah.
We are calling for the resignation.
And we just get mad when we miss, you know, we recorded Friday afternoon last week, you know, and we still miss Reince Priebus resigning.
Yeah, Priebus,
so
Priebus.
We're definitely going to miss stuff this week, and we're sorry. We'll be back next week in episode 401. Yes. We hope you'll be here, too. And thank you for everybody that sent us $4 this week. It is a party, and you are welcome to join the party. You can go to our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, and click on the link. You can also do paypal.me/proleftpodcast.
And at the bottom of every, because both Blue Gal and I embed our podcasts on our own blogs every week as well. And I try to make sure that the bottom of every embedded podcast, I put the PayPal button to make it very easy for anybody who wants to click and contribute. I got a few questions about Amazon from a couple of listeners, and let me just repeat, there's no way for us to know who sent us what, who bought what, et cetera. Amazon just does not reveal that level of detail.
Nope. And they keep your privacy, and that's fine. So you can buy as many, you know, Oreo cookies or sex toys or whatever you
want
to buy.
Oreo sex toys if you want.
Oreo sex toys, and we won't know about it.
But the flip side is, if you ask, did you get it? We don't know.
Well, we know that when you use the link at our website, it works.
Right.
When you click the Amazon link at our website, we do get a percentage of that.
But we do not get a note saying that John Smith just bought
Joe
a pencil
bought
box.
Oreo sex toy, and therefore you get a dollar. No, they don't do that. We get a deposit every month from Amazon. And last month, I'll tell everybody, last month it paid our Visa bill, and I cried. Good. I did cry. And the reason it paid our Visa bill was because the kids are out of the country.
Suddenly, what the hell? You know,
suddenly our Visa bill is really low.
Yeah. I know you asked.
So Amazon covered it.
You asked me, I think the last time we went to the store, don't we need laundry detergent? Nope.
Oh,
nope.
Wow.
There's just a massive drop off in laundry and dishes and just things that you need to buy for kids when you have kids. So.
Yeah. PayPal.me/proleftpodcast will take you directly to a page where you can donate to this podcast. And I sent that out via Twitter, and people were sending $4 or some, you know, multiple of $4 to celebrate our 400th episode. And it's a party, and you can join it. Mm-hmm. At paypal.me/proleftpodcast, which we're going to leave up and have as a place where you can send us money if you want to. Okay. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website. Let me say before I say that, Drift Glass.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you too. I love doing this.
Very much. I love doing this with you. And it's just fun.
It's fun.
And I appreciate so much your intelligence and passion and everything that you give to the show.
I appreciate you. You make me a better person, Blue Gal. Wait a minute. I believe I'm stealing that from As Good
you
As It Gets.
You are stealing that.
But I steal from the best. What can, and you do. I mean, I learn enormous amounts because I'm a talker. You can tell I talk. I like talking. I like telling stories. It's my Irish ancestry. But I learn an enormous amount from my wife, who is smarter than me in every way, by shutting up and listening. Way more.
And anyone who thinks that he talks over me too much or I talk over too much to him, I edit this show.
This is the sound editor. Lugel's the sound editor. So
I'm the sound editor. So if you wonder if I've let Driftglass talk over me too much, I have probably cut out 20 minutes of him doing the blah, 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 blah.
This show had 45 minutes of David Brooks in it. A solid 45-minute gig on just David Brooks and his punctuation, his really weird use of punctuation. And I'm sure it'll be
and
gone.
And if he starts talking about Glenn Greenwald, I just stop him on the show. You know, that's like, no, don't even bother. Don't even bother because I'm just going to delete it. You're just wasting your time.
But I married smart and I married above my station. And it was the best decision I've ever made. So, and I get to chat with this really smart, attractive, sexy woman who we just basically plug in a microphone and record what we talk about anyway, except it's a little more organized.
A donated microphone. Yeah.
But,
yeah, on laptops, and we just
but
talk.
But what, you know, there are some days when I come home or you come home, and how you doing? And it's, can you believe what Stephen Miller did today? Nope. Let's walk back. I'd like to know how you're doing.
Yes.
Because we're in the middle of this fight and that all of us are in on. And it seems, you know, and there's no natural break in the action. So we have to make them, and we have to recognize that we're human and we get tired and we get frustrated, and we hope that our podcast reflects the sort of natural ebb and flow of a happily married couple who are very smart, who are living through history together and bringing you along with us.
And living through history in a way that's very personal. And you did come home today and I was very upset because Junior Dude is going off to college and he's going to age out of Medicaid, and I have to deal once again with the blob of the administrative duty of figuring out how to switch him over to Obamacare and not knowing for the past 6 months if I was going to be able to do that. And at this point, not knowing if the bureaucracy is going to cooperate or if Donald Trump is going to sabotage the whole thing before he turns 19.
Yeah.
And it's very stressful. So we're along for the ride with you on a lot of this stuff. And we appreciate you guys so much for listening and being a part of it.
Whatever the opposite of the view from nowhere is, that's what we do.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We are the opposite of the view from nowhere. That's what we are. Okay. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Sam. A right honorable name for a little gray kitten who still has his baby
right
fur.
On, Sam. Aww. All right.
Yeah, he's adorable.
Hang on to him as long as you can, Sam.
Yeah, that's it. You can send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service.
Go
Postal Unions! Letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. Think about that gourmet coffee. Doesn't it taste good?
It's so good.
If you can afford to buy an espresso-based delicious gourmet beverage for yourself, buy one for us by donating to our podcast. Don't forget our Amazon link at our website. We believe in buying local. We also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store, if you're doing the school supply shopping. Check out Amazon and see the sales there and do the free shipping with your Amazon Prime and save yourself a lot of headache. Mm-hmm. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there. at professionalleft.blogspot.com. Thank you for sharing our show on Facebook and Twitter, and especially it's a 400th episode. Let everybody know. Look at this podcast that's been around for this long.
Yeah, go knock on some doors.
And check it out.
Go on the Twitter and knock on some doors. You know people. You know people who know people. Yeah, make their lives unpleasant until they listen to us. Just saying.
So, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties even miss the Obama's dogs.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2017 Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.
Fake news, sparkle farters.